Sheldon Kennedy joins us, co-founder of the Respect Group, Inc., member of the Order of Canada, former NHL forward. Good morning, Sheldon.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Now, obviously, this is something that it's not the first time this has happened. It won't be the last time this has happened. There are always going to be bad people out there. But how do you stop it? How do you nip it in the bud? Why don't people listen when someone tells them something's happening?
Well, I mean, I think that's bang on. I mean, you know, to think that this is never going to happen again is, I think, fairly naive. I mean, ultimately, it has to be a goal. But I think, you know, what's disturbing with all these cases is the length of time that it happens and how long these individuals are able to operate and hurt kids for decades. And that seems to be, you know, a common theme. And I believe, and what I know about these issues, is that one of our biggest gaps is knowledge. People don't know what to do. I mean, you know, I think that there's naivety, and I also think that there's a cover-up. People don't want to bring down the institution. But I also think that there's really good people that just don't know what to do. And I think as young athletes, you know, where else have they ever got this education to know that they can come forward or this is wrong? I mean, if you look at like the Larry Nassar or the Graham Jameses of the world, what do they rely on? They rely on your organization, your community, and society's ignorance and indifference around these issues. So our best tool and our best defense is knowledge. Take the time to educate yourself.
Sheldon Kennedy, our guest on Brady and Price. Beyond all of it being horrifying, it was so disturbing watching victim impact statements where the victims in this case, Sheldon, would say, I told my parents, they didn't believe me because my older sister was treated by Dr. Nassar and nothing. I couldn't believe. I mean, we're not talking a 5-year-old who might be confused about something. We're talking teenage girls who say to their parents something and the parents don't believe them. I couldn't believe it.
Well, sadly, I think, I mean, what we've seen is that's common. So, it's, you know, we get so focused on, you know, the parents get so focused on their kid making the bigs that, you know, that gives so much power to the people, to the Nassars of the world, right? It's because who is that kid ever going to turn to if they can't turn to their parents? They're supposed to be able to turn to their team doctor. They definitely can't turn to anybody else in the organization. And I think that's a problem. And so what we say is that, you know, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take the volunteers. It's going to take the people around, the bystanders around these situations to have the tools. Because you know what? We may be the only trusted adult that these kids come to. And if they do we know what to do? But if we look at the cases that we investigate, we've investigated 7,000 child abuse cases. And, you know, what did we learn as kids going to school? What did I learn? I learned stranger danger. Be careful of that white van that's cruising around town because they're going to get you. But the reality is 98% of the cases that we've investigated, that child knows their abuser.
That's
and 47%
right.
of these cases, these kids are being abused by a parent or caregiver. So, you know, but a lot of times kids have never been taught that. They don't understand, you know, where boundaries are, what's right, what's wrong. It's about listen to your doctor and listen to your coach.
But you know what, Sheldon, it's not only about kids and not believing them because they're kids. In reading articles over the last few days, it's about grownups. It's about people in positions that we will believe them, about teachers and doctors. And we believe them because they're teachers and doctors. And these people have the backing of their organizations who don't want to believe. So these people, and it's all over, especially stories around from North America, where you have people who have done these kinds of things and they've been reprimanded, but they're still in those positions.
Well, absolutely. Right? Like, I mean, we do a lot of work with the teachers. Well, who, you know, we know that, you know, teachers coming out of teacher college, they get no training on any of this stuff of what to do, right? And if you look at the position that they're in, and you look at the doctors and you look at the schools or whoever it is, people in authority that these kids look up to in their lives, the different places that they end up going to, they are always struggling. And because we know that this stuff is happening at home, they may be the only trusted adult in these kids' lives. So if they disclose to them something that's going on, and then, right, and then something does happen with one of those individuals, and it seems as though that we just want to move them around and not acknowledge it. But I think one of the challenges with this, crime, and one of our biggest challenges, is it's always been focused hard on the incident, and we forgot about the impact. And when we look at the impact of these types of crimes, and we know how much it's impacting, you know, people, you know, we know that kids that have been sexually abused are 15 times more likely to commit suicide, 30% higher dropout rates in high school, 80% of people in treatment centers have disclosed early childhood abuse, right? So when we look at those types of numbers, this is a significant crime. It's not pull yourself up by the bootstraps and let's get going here, right? You're going to be okay. It is long life. It's lifelong, and a lot of times it's killing people. And I think if we look at it that way, you know, we will make the changes necessary. But if we don't, and we just look at it like, oh, they'll be okay, you know, it's going to be okay. Well, they'll be okay, but it's going to take a lot of work, and some of them may not get there.
Sheldon Kennedy, our guest. When you think of living in the States, you went and testified before the U.S. Senate about the Penn State scandal in 2011. When you think about how that justice system treats things differently, when I lived in the States, people, that was when Graham James was convicted. And the biggest thing people would say to me was, how do you feel? I'm like, I'm enraged that Canada doesn't have similar harsh sentences. Does it still enrage you when you see what transpires in this case, comparatively speaking, to the Graham James case? It was horrifying to see how minimal a sentence he received from our country.
Well, it was, it is, there is such a difference. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not outraged by it, I think, personally, because I just can't be doing that or it'll probably kill me. But the, I think is that the Graham Jameses of the world, and what people don't understand is that like when they're sentencing the Graham Jameses of the world, is how much commitment it takes for recovery, right? Of addiction or recovery of sexual assault or recovery of from mental health. It takes a daily commitment. Well, if I look at the Graham Jameses of the world, I mean, the guy's bluffed his way through the system the whole way. He hasn't shown up at his counseling sessions, right, that he's supposed to go to. But meanwhile, people think that, you know, just because he spent 18 months in a, you know, in a correctional facility, that he's not going to do this again. I mean, the FBI studies show that the average pedophile affects 75 to 120 kids if they're caught, before they're caught, or if they're ever caught. So to think that Graham James is never going to do this again, or to think that he's, you know, recovered, you know, is I believe, a joke, because, you know, he's not committed to not doing it again, right? And that, to me, you know, he's never shown, and that's the biggest disturbance that I see with the Graham Jameses of the world, or people that are, you know, in getting out of prison, especially with this crime. I mean, the reoffending rates are massive.
Massive, yeah.
If there is someone who is listening to us right now that has had something like this happen to them, they've told their parents, they've told someone in charge, and nothing has happened, what advice would you give them to do right now to help them out of their situation?
Well, I would tell them to keep telling people, whether it's if they go to an after school program, if it's a babysitter, if it's a teacher, if it's, you know, I would keep telling. And if it's a good friend of yours, parents, I think I saw a study one time that I think they said a child had to tell seven times before action was taken. And what I tell the kids, or, you know, individuals or people in general, is that, you know, somebody is going to believe you and somebody's going to take action. And I think what happens is, for the other people that are listening that, you know, do get that disclosure to them. That is our job, is to take action. Our job is not to counsel, not to question. Our job is to get that individual help and get them to the place where they can receive that help.
Well, thank goodness you're out there and you don't stop talking about it. We thank you so much for joining us today. We recommend people go and read the article at sportsnet.ca. Thank you so much, Sheldon.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Yeah, thank you guys for the chat.